Just want to begin by just letting you know how much I've appreciated just being able to work with Gary and John. Just been a great weekend, hasn't it? Being able to share together and just get to know the great privilege that we have. I'm going to again get you to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read verses 3 to 14 again. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also were sealed. You also trusted after you heard the word of the truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The story is told of a little boy that was found on one of the city streets in the States. And they could tell that he had lived on the street most of his life, and they took him to a hospital. And after they got him to the hospital, they cleaned him all up and they put him into a hospital bed. And then they brought him a meal. And there on the meal in front of him, you know he had to live on the street to think hospital food was good, but there on the front of him was food. And there was a huge glass of milk. And he looked at that milk and he says, "Can I have all of it? Can I have all of it?" I want you to know that as we've looked at Ephesians chapter 1, but we can have it all. And didn't John do a good job of what I've been trying to tell you? I could almost shut up, couldn't I? But all the things that he shared with us, it's all his. He did it all, didn't he? And all we have to do is to acknowledge it and to accept it. And what a great, awesome privilege that is, that we have a Father that wants us to be secure. He's adopted us. He's chosen us. And we have his Son that has redeemed us. We have his Son that desires to work in our lives. And this afternoon we want to look at the third person of the Trinity. But as again, just remind you of chapters 1 to 3 is all of our wealth, our calling, our position. Deals with doctrine, very essential doctrine. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 again reminds us of our walk and of our conduct. We saw how in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, that God the Father planned for our redemption. That's an eternity past. That's even before the world was created. He planned for our redemption. And then we have the Son. He provided our redemption. That's in history past as well, isn't it? He's provided for it. But now we're going to look at the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and the fact that he protects our salvation. He protects our redemption. That's in the present, right now. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing for you right now. In fact, did you notice the change in pronouns as we read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14? Did you notice how he changed to you in verse 13. In him, you. Until then, he's been talking about we and us. Now in verse 13, he says, in him, you also trusted. After you heard the truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So we want to look at the Holy Spirit this afternoon. And I want to remind you that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Aren't you glad for that? We know we live in a day and age in which there's such an extreme about the Holy Spirit, isn't there? We live in a day and age in where we see some that's all they can talk about. They want to glorify the Holy Spirit. They want to emphasize the Holy Spirit. And then we have others, they're almost afraid of the Holy Spirit, aren't they? Because they might be associated with those people over there. And so they don't even want to talk about the Holy Spirit, do they? They're almost afraid to emphasize him. But who is he? He's a person. Never call the Holy Spirit an it. He's a person. He's real. Let me read to you from John chapter 14, where we're reminded of the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will give it. I think I'm reading the wrong verse. It should be chapter 16, sorry. John chapter 16, verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take and declare it to you. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. He's at work. He's not passive, but he's involved. He's real. He's deity. What does he do? First of all, he regenerates us, doesn't he? He regenerates us. And the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He makes us new, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit is what baptizes us. We're baptized into the body. We're placed into the body of Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 emphasizes for us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Remember what Jesus says? He shall be in you. The Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Spirit seals us, and we're going to talk about that. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, we're reminded of the fact that the Holy Spirit fills us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And that word filled means to be controlled. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. And then he goes on and he tells us how we can know if we're controlled by the Spirit of God or not. First of all, when we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we're going to have joy in our heart, aren't we? We're going to have a song in our heart. We're going to have. May not be able to sing outwardly, may not be able to carry a tune outwardly, but you have a song in your heart because of what God has done for you, because of the fact of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Second thing is we're going to have an attitude of thanks towards God. We're going to take time to thank God. And then thirdly, in our relationship with others, we're going to submit. We're going to be willing to submit to each other. Now, men like taking just that one verse where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. But just before that, he said, what? Submit to each other. And so we're going to have joy in our heart as we think about ourselves. We're going to have an attitude of thanks as we think of God. And then as we think of each other, we're going to be willing to submit and surrender. But I want you to know, first of all, that we have the imprint of the Holy Spirit on our life. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 again and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, did you notice in verse 13 that the entire plan of salvation is mentioned there? Did you notice that? He says, first of all, you need to hear. You need to hear the gospel of salvation. How shall they hear unless that someone goes? We need to hear it. What is the gospel? Gospel, very simply, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul says, I declared unto you the gospel, that Christ died, that Christ rose, that Christ was buried, and that Christ rose. That's the gospel. He came, He died, He was buried, and He rose again. He says, when you heard the gospel, and then He says, you believed it. You notice that? Not only did you hear it, but you believed it. Do you notice it? Do you notice now there's a balance in Paul's teaching? Someone was asked me the question, if you're chosen, does that leave anything that you have to do? Now he's telling us what we have to do, doesn't he? He says, you've been chosen. Now he says, you need to hear it, and you need to believe it. And then what does he say? Trust. What does the word trust mean? To throw yourself completely upon. To commit yourself completely. To believe it. But he says that we have the imprint of the Holy Spirit of God. When you invite Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit comes in. And time again in Scripture, we're reminded of that. In Romans chapter 8, it says, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're not one of His children. In 1 Corinthians, it says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Spirit comes to reside within us. And He becomes a seal. And I might say, well, what is a seal? There's several things I listed in your notes that remind us of what a seal is. A seal, first of all, is a sign of ownership. That this belongs to this individual. This belongs to this person. And in Scripture it says that we have the seal of the Holy Spirit, that we belong to Christ, that we belong to God. And you read the book of Revelation, and in the Revelation it talks about those that have the seal of God. Do you have the seal of God today? Do you have the seal of God in your life? Did you know that the seal of God is what gives you assurance? Because sometimes our faith is going to be weak. Sometimes we're going to doubt whether we're a Christian or not. But the Holy Spirit is a reminder that we are His child, that we belong to Him. It's also a sign of a completed transaction. And we've been reminded of that this afternoon. But in the book of Jeremiah, it talks about buying a land and then putting a seal of a finished transaction. And the Holy Spirit is a seal of a finished transaction. When Jesus said, as He died on the cross, and He says, it is finished. The transaction is finished. And when the Holy Spirit comes to live in your life, it's a sign of a completed transaction that you are His. It's also a sign of protection and security. Remember the tomb where Jesus was laid? And what did they do? They put a seal on it. They put a seal upon that tomb. Anybody touched it, they would know. Remember when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den? They put a seal over the lion's den. They would know if anybody touched it. It's a seal of protection. It's also a sign of a promise fulfilled. That everything that God promised, God's going to fulfill. It's also a sign of genuineness. This is the real thing. You want to know if you have the real thing? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you know He's in your life? Then you have the real thing. It's a guarantee. It's a seal that you have the guarantee. I'll let you know my age, but Zenith used to have the advertising, the quality goes in before the name goes on. And for you as a Christian, the quality went in before the name went on. He came to dwell. And He put His seal upon you. that you have the genuine article. Darlene and I were visiting our son in Watrous, and he just got a football jersey from the Minnesota Vikings that he got over eBay. And he thought he got a super, super deal over eBay until he got it. Guess what? It's not the real thing. It looks like the real thing. It has the same color as the real thing. But it's not the real thing. In fact, the person that sold it to him, guess what happened to him? He got kicked off eBay. Do you have the real thing? You know, so much emphasis today, and we miss out on what the real thing is. Do you have the real thing? And then lastly, it's a sign of authenticity. But not only do we have the imprint of the Holy Spirit, we have the pledge of the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The old King James says, we have the earnest of the Spirit. Now my dad has been gone for a long time. He passed away at the age of 43. But he used to be a real estate salesman. And if he could get the earnest money, he was happy. Because when he got the earnest money, he knew that he had a closed deal. When the person would sign the line and write a check that they were going to go ahead with the purchase of a particular property, he knew that he had them. That's what that guarantee is. It's a signed guarantee that this belongs to him. Do you have that guarantee in your heart? Do you know that without a doubt? Do you know that you have that down payment? When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He is a guarantee that there's something even better to come. There's more to come. Now, my wife isn't here this afternoon, but back in 1972, before we were married, I gave her an engagement ring. And that engagement ring was a guarantee to her that something better was coming. Now, don't ask her if that happened or not. But that engagement ring was a guarantee that I was committing myself to her and that there hopefully something better was coming. The Holy Spirit is the engagement ring. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that there is something better coming. We have been redeemed. We are being redeemed today. And in one day, we will be completely redeemed, won't we? We will experience all that God has for us. We'll be able to know it all. We'll be able to experience all that He has and be able to share in all of that, all that He has done for us. But you know, we live in a day and age in which Satan is going to try to attack us, isn't he? And he's going to try to get us to doubt. And he's going to try to get us to question. And that's why we need the seal and the guarantee that we belong to him. There are, as I think about what Satan would like to do, he likes to attack our mind. Has Satan ever attacked your mind? Has Satan ever tried to get you to doubt? Remember what he did with Eve? Got her to doubt, didn't he? In fact, we read about that in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's how Satan deceives. He attacks our mind. And as the Holy Spirit working in our life, we have the absolute guarantee that we belong to Him. And even when Satan attacks, that we have the Word of God, don't we? Remember what Jesus used when Satan attacked in Matthew chapter 4? He used the Word of God, didn't he? It is written. It is written. It is written. And we have the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. He's with us. And the fact that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Another thing that Satan likes to do is he likes to attack our will too, doesn't he? To give us a hard time to surrender and to commit ourselves to Him. But the fact that we know that we belong to Him. Now, as a close this afternoon, I want to again remind you of the prayer that Paul prayed after he had shared about all the things that God had done. How God had adopted us, how He had redeemed us, how He has sealed us. And then at the end of that, he says in verse 15, therefore, because of all that I've just shared with you, therefore, because you've been adopted, because you've been redeemed, and because you've been sealed, therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He says, I want you to know Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of an inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and dominions and mights and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of all who dwells in Him. Paul prays that we would know God. That we would know God, first of all, for salvation. Remember what he said in John chapter 17, verse 3? He reminded them that if you know me, you know the Father. And this is eternal life, that you understand who I am. He wants us to know God for salvation, for sanctification. Philippians chapter 3, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. And then for glorification, that one day we're going to see Him and we're going to be like Him. He wants us to know the calling. What a high calling that is. To know that I'm a child of God. There's nothing higher that you can have. To know that you're a child of God. That you belong to Him and that you're secure. To know that we might know God's riches, all that He's done for us, and that we might know God's power in our lives. And so as we close, I want to just remind you, remember that true riches come from God. True riches comes from God. Secondly, that all these riches come by God's grace and for God's glory. Nothing that we have done. Nothing that we deserve. Then that little box at the bottom. Going back to election. Election comes from the heart of God, not from the minds of humans. Can you grasp that? Election comes from the heart of God, not from the minds of humans. And when He reminds us about election and about being chosen, it's to give us security. It's to give us confidence that we belong to Him. And when we understand election, it inspires us to please Him and not to ignore Him. If you understand what election is really all about, you're going to want to serve Him. You're going to want to worship Him. You're going to want to get to know Him better. But when you struggle with understanding what election's all about, you're going to be tempted to ignore Him. True understanding of election gives us gratitude, not complacency. When you understand what election's all about, your response is, man, God, thank you. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for how much you love me. Thank you for all you've done. But he's given us a free will too, hasn't he? And a free will requires that we actively believe in Christ. That's our part, to believe. That we focus on living according to God's plan and not our plan. That we focus on living God's plan, not our plan. And then lastly, requires that we witness for Christ by sharing the gospel. The more you believe in election, the more you're going to want to witness. Not the opposite. But the more that you believe in election, the more you're going to want to share. When you understand that God is going to work in the hearts of those that He's chosen, and all He wants you to do is what? Share. Because you and I can't save a single person, can we? You can try all you want, but you can't save a single person. All He wants you to do is share, to share the message. And as the message is shared, God's going to work in hearts and lives. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, verses that I'm sure you've memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. How many of you want God to direct your path? I think all of us want that, don't we? But in order for God to direct our path, we have to be willing to do those first three things. There's four verbs in those two verses. Trust, lean not, acknowledge, and He will direct. The first three verbs have to do with us. The last verb has to do with God. The first verb is trust. That word trust again means to throw yourself completely upon Him. Doesn't mean you have to understand everything. If you're going to wait till you understand everything, you'll never get any place. Trust. Trust in the sovereign God. Trust in a God that knows everything. Trust in a God that cares about you. Throw yourself upon Him. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to think you're going to ever be able to comprehend it all till you get to heaven. Then you'll know. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In everything you do, acknowledge Him. Recognize Him. And then it says, He might direct your path. Is that what it says? No, it says He will. If we trust, if we acknowledge and lean not, it says He will. That's a guarantee. That's a promise. He will direct our path. If we trust Him. Now, I want you to know, I don't have a bad memory, but someone has asked that I would repeat the story that I started with on Friday night. They said they wanted to hear that story again, and so I want to close by just sharing that story with you again. I really do think it's very appropriate for us to be reminded of that story. And it's the story of the wealthy senior man that had been widowed. And he loved to collect art. And he collected art of all the famous art collectors. And he had millions and millions of dollars worth of art collection in his home. And he had a son who also began to love art just like he did. And they would collect art, and they would travel around, and they would collect all the different art pieces that they could obtain. One fall, his son was called to war. His son had to leave to go defend his country. And it was just a few months after that that the father received a message that his son had been killed in battle while he was trying to rescue one of his comrades. And the father was devastated. He didn't know how he was going to make it through Christmas. He didn't know how he was going to make it on now that his son was gone. And on Christmas Day, there was a knock at his door. And there stood a soldier in his uniform standing at the door. He says, you don't know me. But your son and I served together in battle. In fact, I was the one that he was rescuing when he was killed. And I want you to know that I'm not a very good artist, but I painted a picture of your son, and I'd like you to have that gift. And he presented to him a package, and the father unwrapped the package. And as the package was unwrapped, he saw a portrait of his son. A portrait that artists wouldn't clamor for, wouldn't really be worth a lot of money. But as his father looked at it, he could see the picture of his son. He could see all the different characteristics of his son. And he began to weep. And he told the soldier, he says, you know what? I'm going to put that picture in a very prominent place in my house. And that's exactly what he did. He took that picture and he put it above his fireplace in his home. And he would sit there and he would look at that picture. And he would remember all the great times he had with his son. The next spring, the father became very, very ill. And he passed away. An auction was going to be held to get rid of all the great collections of pictures of art that the man had collected, he and his son had collected. And art collectors from around the world came to buy those valuable, valuable art collecting pieces that were worth millions. And the auctioneer stood up and he says, the first picture that we're going to sell this afternoon is the picture of the man's son. And he held it up and he said, do I have an offer? Do I have $100? Absolute silence. No takers. Again, do I have a bid on this picture? And from the back of the room, someone cried, get on with it. Let's get on with the important things. Put that aside. We came here for the valuable art. And the auctioneer, no, he says, I have been given instruction that I'm to sell this picture first. Again, any bidders? Again, absolute silence. Until a man in the back of the room said, sir, would you take $10 for it? I knew the old man, and I knew his son. And the auctioneer said, $10. I got $10 more, going once, going twice. And the gavel came down, and he sold the picture of the son for $10. And then the auctioneer turned to the crowd, and he said, the auction is over. And the crowd was stunned. What about the valuable pieces? What about all those pieces we've come for? And the auctioneer said, the requirement was whoever takes the son gets everything. Whoever takes the son gets everything. Can I tell you that's Ephesians chapter 1? Whoever takes the son gets everything. You've been chosen. You've been adopted. You've been blessed. You've been delivered. You've been redeemed. You've been accepted. Just stop and think about that. You are accepted by God. Can I tell you a secret? You can't make yourself acceptable. No matter how hard you try. But He can. He's made you acceptable. And did you hear what it says in Ephesians 1:6? You are accepted in the beloved. Who is the beloved? Jesus. You are accepted in the Son. Do you have the Son this afternoon? Do you know the Son this afternoon? Are you walking in victory with the Son this afternoon? Are you trusting the Son with everything this afternoon? Because if you are, you have everything. The world can't take it away. Your church can't take it away. All those false teachers can't take it away. You have it all. And not only that, you have the Holy Spirit. A guarantee, a seal that you are His. Father, I want to thank You this afternoon. We do have that absolute assurance that we belong to You. Father, thank You that we were reminded this afternoon of the abundant life. Thank You that You have said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Father, my prayer is that every person here today would be experiencing that abundant life. Not just fire insurance from hell, but that they would be experiencing You. The only one that knows them completely. The only one that can completely forgive them. The only one that can meet them where they are. Father, may we desire to know You, to love You, to serve You, to follow You. Thank You again for Your presence. Thank You for Your working in our life and in our heart. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that there is another book that was written to the church at Ephesus? That's in Revelation. Remember that church? Remember the church at Ephesus? What happened to that church? They lost their first love. They lost their love for Jesus. Have you lost your love for Jesus? If you have, you've lost more than you'll ever imagine. Never, never, never get over the fact that God saved you. I don't think there's hardly a day goes by that I don't remember July 19, 1969, when I got down on my knees in a community hall in Ontario, Oregon, and I invited Jesus in my heart. Never get over that. But don't stay there. Get to know Him better. I better close.